This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Everybody, Kate Delaney broadcasting from Savannah, Georgia. Oh my, oh my. Some of you are going to be in the path of some severe weather once again. I may be one of them. Cross your fingers. Not back on my way to the satellite facility in the Dallas area, but 110 million people. I'm going to talk about that, so make sure you check flights if you happen to be traveling or just know the weather in general because of tornado activity, hail, that kind of thing. Let's talk about Notre Dame first, though. Everywhere I went today, there were still more conversations about Notre Dame because people wanted to know if most of it was destroyed, is it repairable, what are the donations. And you know, the donations for the Notre Dame Cathedral, $700 million. I mean, this is how much this place means to people, and not just the French, people who have traveled there, religious people, people who just fell in love with the iconic symbol. So repairing and rebuilding that cathedral, one of the most famous buildings, frankly, in the world, is going to take, they say, decades. You're going to have architecture. Those kinds of experts are going to have to be there. The balance of restoring the unique look and then fortifying what the structure is. It's going to be a really slow process, and luckily money is coming in. That's one thing. But you got historians, archaeologists, they're going to have to do 3D laser scan recreations of the interior. That kind of stuff is what we're talking about. I had a conversation with an art history major just off the cuff today, and that's exactly what he told me. You know, are you talking about a replica? Well, you're talking about a replica, and what is that replica going to look like when you look at the roof, and how does it handle hazards? So that's going to have to change a bit. But you think of the French Gothic cathedrals like Notre Dame, they were built thin, slender, and fragile. So restoration is a continuous process. And to have so much of it destroyed, of course, changes the game completely. And this will be an interesting process, I think, to follow. And then, of course, the other part of this is, what people want to know is, even with the donations coming in and then looking at the time frame of what it will take to rebuild it, what caused the fire? What caused the bloody fire in the first place? And after the flames engulfed this cathedral on Monday, Paris firefighter spokesperson said that, you know, you look at an 850-year-old structure, and here it is Holy Week, which is an important moment for Christians, but certainly for the Catholic Church. And even though the worst has been avoided, it is still very much needs to be rebuilt. But the cause of fire is under investigation. They say it probably began as an accident during restoration work because they were in the midst of a $6.8 million renovation project. Arson was ruled out. As any kind of terror motives, related motives, they were ruled out too. So you had 400 firefighters that were on top of this, but there's only so much they could do. But isn't that interesting to talk about the resurrection in Holy Week of what it will take to rebuild what that cathedral was? Because certainly there were some definite damages, even though a lot of the precious artifacts in there were saved. They were saved. All right, I'm going to talk about the weather in a second, but I have to talk about Mueller and the Mueller report and the fear of what's coming out or not coming out, or are we going to see anything? And it's supposedly going to happen in a couple of days. Thursday, we think, is the timeline, and I keep trying to nail that down, but it's so elusive. Slippery like a cat they are in Washington, and the sources I have at the Pentagon say that the timeline of this week is accurate, but what's going to be released and how much is going to be redacted. Expect at least 50% or more to be redacted. So I'm going to say it's probably on the more side. And supposedly there are people, staffers, that are worried about what's going to be released and what's going to be damaging, and you know, whose names will be there, whose names will actually be crossed out or blacked out, which is, again, the redacted thing. And I'd be curious about that, too, and that's going to be one of the first things people are obviously going to, you know, to look at. And you've got a Twitter war going on. You had the president tweet on Monday saying that about the report that it was written by 18 angry Democrats who happen to be Trump haters and should have focused on the people who spied on, he said, my 2016 campaign and others who fabricated the whole Russian hoax. So overly concerned, not concerned at Pennsylvania Avenue, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. We'll see what, you know, what ultimately there is to see, because the exact specifics that are in the report, a lot of that has not come out. And I think that's why there's even more curiosity. And remember, we ponied up the money. I said this the other day. Never forget, you're a taxpayer. I'm a taxpayer. We just paid the man. Unless you were one of those lucky to get a refund. And so to me, we deserve to, if we want to see it, we should be able to see it. But what are we really going to see? I mean, is there anything that we're going to see that's just going to make our eyes roll in the back of our head? All right, so I mentioned the severe storms, tornadoes. Oh, boy, I see this tornado damage, and it just makes my heart sad for people who have these tornadoes possibly bearing down on them. So we're talking about the central and southern USA and what could be a repeat. They're talking about that there's thunderstorms in the plains, the Midwest, and the South, and that's going to happen starting on Wednesday, and it's going to go eastward through Thursday and Friday. So some of the same communities that were affected earlier in the week are going to be affected again. They're talking about Oklahoma, far west Arkansas, parts of central Texas, and you're talking about very large hail that's expected in Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas during the day, and then eastern Texas and Arkansas and northern Louisiana, and then the risk of severe storms further north into the Mid-Atlantic, in Georgia and Florida from Friday into Friday night, so enough time for me to escape Savannah, hopefully, knock on wood, in the wrath of what could happen, you know, in trying to get out and catch a plane. As I was speaking at an oil conference here, and so many people were stuck that trying to get in. In fact, 45 people, they said, but they all ended up making it in, which is the good news. But boy, I was really excited to talk with the National Petroleum Energy Credit Association people on all sides of this, and what an interesting group, and I thank them for that. But it was interesting watching people navigate from all over the country that severe weather. Now, some of them leaving and having to go back into that severe weather and wondering if their plane's going to get there, if they're going to make that connection from Atlanta on in. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's a timing deal of when it actually hits. But just be aware if you're in some of those areas and you're traveling, or even if the hail's in your backyards, or look for the tornadoes, too. And I certainly don't have to tell many of you, you've talked about the weather in the mailbag, and in fact, that's where we're bouncing next. Stay with us.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with a story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, let's get deep into the mailbag. And I got this one from Brad, who says, wow, I'll tell you what, the weather has been so strange, Katie. I was in Chicago. I live in southern Illinois, but I was there on business and kind of got a little bit snowed in. I think I heard you mention something about the snow, 4 to 8 inches. I was closer to the 8-inch side. It was just the strangest thing. I took all kinds of screwball-y kind of videos and then eventually made my way back home from being in the city. But it was odd to see snow so deep into April. I mean, here we are almost at Easter. What do you think gives? I'm not somebody who really necessarily thought that we have climate change, but something is funky going on with our weather. Yeah, you know, it depends on what scientist you talk to, right? It is strange. It's strange that some of the weather that we've seen, especially the last, I say this last couple years, and there's one of the oddball things that you get snow the other day in Chicago and the next day it's 80 degrees. I mean, is it the world we live in now or is there more to it? I say you throw all the signs you can at it no matter what and try to figure out is there something behind some of the weather patterns that we're seeing and not deny it. Because I always say on this show, look, I feel like I'm the voice of reason. And if you're the voice of reason, and I know you're reasonable people, no matter what your politics are, it is ultimately getting down to the truth, whether it's your truth or the truth of what's happening out there. So I think you don't ignore possibilities, you just explore. So don't ignore, you explore, and then you make up your own mind after that. Let's move to this one. This one is from Rhett, who says, Kate, oh my gosh, Tiger Woods was not a fan with all his crazy nonsense and what he did to various women, although, hey, that's his own business, but it was so ridiculous. I felt sorry for his kids, but that blows over. It's a different time now. He did his mea culpa, but then he had all his injuries. To see him win that Masters was just absolutely phenomenal. I'm not even a huge golf fan necessarily, but I sure was this past weekend. Him winning the way he did and all those people on hand and all of the support and all the videos and everything else that was out there, I have to say it was a very, very cool moment. What do you think? Oh, you know I'm going to say it's cool. One, I like to play the great game of golf, poorly I say, but watching Tiger come back like that, his giant smile, his son Charlie running up to him, and his daughter, and his mother, and his whole crew, it was pretty exciting. And the fact that he picked up a fifth Masters and 15 majors now, wow, yeah, wow, absolutely, 100%. Let's move to this one from Dana. Kate, I've never emailed the show before, but I listened to it. I had a hard time finding your email address. You might tell that to the listeners more often, but I was wondering what you thought of a story I read the other day about this cakes that people are getting for vasectomies. I was in a train station the other day, and I picked up the USA Today, and they talked about that being a thing for guys. So it's not just having the groom cake anymore, but I guess if the guy gets a vasectomy, he gets a cake for that too. Well, when I read your email, because I had no idea what you were talking about, I looked it up, and apparently it is kind of a new thing, or maybe somebody just decided they were going to create it, but there are cakes that are being made for vasectomies, and there's one place in particular, and I guess that's why that story exploded and why USA Today had it and why you sent me an email about it. It's a place called Nolensville, Tennessee, and they have this buttercream frosted cake, and it says with 100% juice, no seeds, happy vasectomy. That's what they have written on the cake, right? So somebody ordered one, and then it became a thing, and more people started ordering the cakes, and, you know, so you've got graduations, you've got birthdays, you've got weddings, you've got communions, you've got all kinds of reasons to celebrate retirement, and now you can celebrate with a vasectomy cake. I wonder if they make cards for that. Yeah. So thanks for the levity. That was pretty funny. I didn't see it until you said that, but yeah. By the way, if you want to email me, you can anytime, of course, katedelaneyradio.com. That's the way to get a hold of me. Click on contact, and bada bing, an ode to my man Tony Soprano back in the Soprano days. You will, lo and behold, get a hold of me. Whatever it is that you want to let fly, let it fly. All right, how about this? This one is from The Mac. Kate, I enjoyed hearing about your trip to Ireland. It made me want to take my family there. In fact, I'm going to try to plan a trip to it, so thank you for that. I heard you talk a lot about Game of Thrones, and I was wondering if you had a chance to see the first episode of the last season and what you thought. Okay, spoiler alert, I thought it was very good. It didn't disappoint, let's put it that way. Somebody said to me, it didn't suck. Yeah, it didn't. For those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, it's the phenomenon of Game of Thrones. It's been on HBO, and it's kind of like this medieval fantasy deal based on a book. And the scene, I'm just going to say, the scene I liked, so picture this, riding the dragon. Jon Snow and Daenerys riding dragons. It just, I thought it was funny because he played it funny, and it was just a funny scene, and said, where do I hold on? And she made a funny crack back at him, and it's kind of reintroducing you to the whole thing, because somebody's obviously going to die, somebody's going to win, and somebody's going to rule the kingdom. Sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it? For those of you who have no idea, that kind of gives you a little bit of a synopsis of it. How's that? There you go. All right, moving along to something else related to what's going on in Washington. I got this one from Thomas, who says, Kate, you know, I've been fascinated by, sadly, what's happened at Notre Dame, but at the same time, one thing that I'm keeping an eye on here in this country is some of the rhetoric that's been ratcheted up over the Mueller report. And I agree with you, by the way. There's going to be so much dark ink on that. Who knows what we're going to actually see anyway. But if there's something to see, we the people should be able to see it since we paid for the ridiculous two-year back and forth over what was going to be in the report and what wasn't going to be in the report. And then lo and behold, at the end, where it seemed as though something was going to, it seemed as though the Democrats thought they had something on the president, and then ultimately they did not. So let's see it. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of hearing about it because we have our own problems, like feeding our family, saving for college for our kids. And you know the stuff that you talk about so often on your show. Yeah. We've been held hostage by the Russian investigation, and some of the president's men have fallen. You know, different people that were in different positions, as we know, including his lawyer, Cohen. But in the end, paying all that money to dive into Russia, where's the culpability? And what does it mean for Russia, and what does it mean for our future elections, actually? All right, this is an interesting one, too, because I always say that we are at the crossroads of what's happening, so whatever the buzz is. And the buzz has been over this whole college scam and pasting faces on crew sites and that kind of stuff. And I was reading a story, and I got this note I got a couple of emails about it, and one of them was from Don asking about, you mentioned this, Kate, you mentioned the one actress a bunch from Desperate Housewives. My wife used to watch that show. I made her, because I heard you say that, show me who this woman was, and how about the fact that she paid only $15,000 to help her daughter cheat on her SATs, but she may be getting some decent size jail time. I don't know. Do you think it's fair or foul? Well, here's the problem. So they say she could serve up to 10 months in prison because she paid thousands of dollars to get her daughter into school. And of course, taking the SATs, she, you know, paid a fake charity, paid 15 grand. Yes. Her daughter wasn't aware of the scam. So, cause she went to a test site, and the administrator gave her additional time to do her tests and all that, but she wasn't aware of that. I'm gonna be curious how she stacks up to Lori Loughlin and her husband, who paid $500,000, and of course they're pleading not guilty. It is crazy. The whole thing's crazy and very, very sad, frankly. All right, thanks for all the emails. Remember, katedelaneyradio.com. Click on contact.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
French President Emmanuel Macron has promised that the fire-ravaged Notre Dame Cathedral will be rebuilt. The damage is extensive, but the outer structure is largely intact, and many of the most precious artifacts were saved. 50 investigators are searching for the cause of the fire. The French government said 20 firefighters risked their lives to save the Gothic monument. In Paris for her book tour, Former First Lady Michelle Obama addressed a crowd of thousands.
We have to believe in each other. We have to use these times to unite because Notre Dame will be rebuilt.
President Trump has vetoed a congressional resolution to end U.S. military support for the Saudi-led war in Yemen. Lawmakers do not have the votes to override it. This is USA Radio News.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
The best sleep of my life has been since I got a MyPillow and since I got my Giza Dream sheets. I have to tell you, I've slept in some great hotels in my time, but nothing like these Giza Dreams sheets. Now go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dreams sheets special, you'll find out all about them, and use my promo code USA to get 30% off and free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dreams sheets special, use my promo code USA.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
For your health here on America Tonight, an important one. Think of endoscopy. I've got Dave Schwartz with us, Citizens for Safe Endoscopy. Think about it, and I know Joan Rivers, if you remember, it's been 2 years, but how shocked and horrified people were when they realized what it was that had happened to her with endoscopy. And, of course, her poor daughter was just beside herself. But I think it really shined a light on what are the problems and how do you ensure that it's safe with the procedure that you're getting that you think is relatively routine, or is it? Dave, thanks so much for popping up on the show. I guess that's the question. Is it relatively routine, or do we just think that?
Well, and thank you for having me on such an important issue. There are multiple facets to this issue, but the bottom line is medical dishonesty and intellectual dishonesty on the part of the medical profession. We have about 10 million upper endoscopic procedures every single year. And these 10 million, for the most part, patients are sedated during those procedures. And this is where the medical dishonesty comes in from. It's about $3,000 or anywhere up to $3,000 to do an in-office upper endoscopic procedure, which means $30 billion. $30 billion in the pockets of the medical industry, and patients are paying that money. There is a procedure, transnasal endoscopy or transnasal esophagoscopy, which basically is like a spaghetti-like camera that goes through the nose. The patient is completely upright, completely awake during the procedure, and the entire procedure does not take more than 10 minutes. And you get the same screening as you would by sedating a patient and going through the throat for the usual EGD. And the reason why this is happening is all about money. The transnasal procedure, the reimbursement is about $200. The in-office sedation is around $3,000. We think we could save $15 billion a year. And also, obviously, there's a safety issue involved, because although the vast majority of sedated procedures go as planned, 0.5% don't. And they end up in some sort of complication. And obviously, in the Joan Rivers case, it was a tragic complication. So when you look at 0.5, it doesn't sound like that's a big number. But 0.5 amounts to 50,000 procedures every single year with complications due to sedation. And some of those people tragically die. And, you know, the medical dishonesty that's going on, where patients aren't informed of a safer procedure where greed is at play here, is just unconscionable.
Yeah, so you're trying to raise that awareness, am I right? And you're doing interviews like this. And what else do you do to let people know, hey, be careful, this is the deal?
You know, we just started this movement. This movement has been really shut down by a lot of forces, whether it's medical societies, the FDA, and also big manufacturers, foreign manufacturers, Olympus, and other endoscopic manufacturers, which own 100% of the endoscope market. And they don't want these issues to come into play. So that's a huge issue. And now with Obamacare, we just heard today that UnitedHealthcare is going to lose $1 billion this year. You know, we could save $15 billion a year in the system, $15 billion, by doing simpler procedures that are safer and are cost-effective. And we're not getting it done, and we're not getting the word out there because of all these forces that spend millions and millions of dollars lobbying to keep the status quo. It's really an unconscionable situation. And then there's the situation of endoscopic cross-contamination. That's the second piece that we're working on.
Yeah.
And we believe, you know, there are 15 million endoscopic procedures every year in the U.S., that 2.7% of them amount to some sort of cross-contamination. That's at least 270,000 patients at risk every single year due to endoscopic cross-contamination. And again, there are technologies out there that could alleviate this problem. There's the EndoSheath technology. There are disposable endoscopes out there. So we need to push for a complete sterilization standard. You know, this needs to be a semi-critical device, which would call for complete sterilization, as opposed to the disinfection standard that's in place right now, which is the killing of almost all microbial life, but not all. And the types of microbial life that could live through the disinfection process are hepatitis and tuberculosis and all these superbugs.
Wow.
And we have technology out there right now that could avoid this. But again, the forces, the endoscope manufacturers, the medical dishonesty that's going on is a shame. You know, we just want to have an education process and enter into a conversation here where we can do better. We could really do better as a country and alleviate this for patients. And it's the lobbying and it's the big forces out there that are trying to quash this movement.
Yeah, we're speaking with Dave Schwartz, Citizens for Safe Endoscopy, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. And, you know, it's interesting you say about the contamination. And this was on the heels, a lot of this started to break on the heels a couple of years ago of Joan Rivers dying and the contamination in Los Angeles in a well-known hospital. And I think that people are just scared to death. And this is good to warn people there are other procedures. And, you know, when it's suggested by your doctor, you may have some people that take a step back now.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that we got to go to 0 to 100, and,
yep.
And, you know, we could have had a conversation all along and an analysis all along over a number of years. And by the way, the cross-contamination outbreaks that we hear about, like UCLA, it just scratches the surface. Because we don't even know about all the patients out there that have been infected. Because the ASGE comes up with it, and that's the American Society of Gastroenterologists, they come up with a fictional number. They say it's 1 out of 1.8 million. At least they were going with that number for a while. I think they're starting to back off it. In order to come up with that number, you know, you have to have an endoscopic procedure in a doctor's office, all right? And then, you know, a few weeks later, you come down with some sort of virus or something. You know, you have to go back to that doctor. The doctor has to say to the patient, oh, yeah, you got infected by the endoscopic procedure. that I gave to you 3 weeks ago. And by the way, hang on here 1 second. I'm going to go report this to a medical journal. I think we all understand how fictional and how ridiculous that scenario is. And that's where they came up with their number, one out of 1.8 million. It's really a lot more. And there are so many infections that people get, you know, just common infections. A lot of times it's not a major infection when I give the 270,000 number. But, and they can't, there's just no linkage to the endoscopic procedure that they had. We have to take a good look at this. And there are solutions out there. We have solutions out there. The endosheath technology, which is a giant condom-like object that goes over all the parts of the endoscope that come into contact with the human body, and then the other parts are disposable. That technology is out there today. And I have to tell you, Olympus, you know, they're claiming they didn't know that their duendoscopes were unsafe. They've known about it since the mid-90s. In fact, if you look at some of their patent applications, they admit that there could be problems with cross-contamination. So I have no idea, you know, what's going to happen with them, but somebody needs to take a good look. I know they're under investigation, and, you know, we just need to know the facts.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people have to go through this procedure because you have people that, what's really prevalent, and I know that's always suggested, is people with acid reflux. And I think more and more people have that. So it's not, oh, that's just something that happens with a few people. No. It's still being suggested and recommended all over the place, isn't it?
Sure. Acid reflux is a secret killer because, you know, that could lead to esophageal cancer, which is the fastest growing cancer, and Barrett's esophagus, all kinds of problems. I have the good news, though, with that. With acid reflux, the good news is when you're doing screening for acid reflux and esophageal cancer and all the other related conditions, you don't need to have an endoscopic procedure where you're put out, you lose an entire day of work, and you're risking, there's safety issues in risking that. You could have a TNE, a transnasal esophagoscopy, through the nose, sitting upright. It takes 5 minutes to get a diagnosis of acid reflux. It takes 5 to 10 minutes to do an analysis of your vocal cords. And your esophagus. And that's the good news. And the second part of the good news is that technology, the sheath technology, is perfected in the T&E procedures. So every single person could get screened for acid reflux through a T&E procedure, and the patients should really start demanding it. We need a full movement here because they're not teaching T&E in medical schools. They're teaching the traditional methods because of the intellectual dishonesty, I think, that's in the medical profession right now, where they make the $3,000 a pop by putting patients out. And by the way, what about the effects on the economy of a patient being put out and losing an entire day of work, as opposed to a T&E procedure where it's a spaghetti-like camera? It works just as good as the traditional endoscope. And it's videotaped, and the doctor can go back and look at every aspect of it. And I've had it done to myself.
It
works perfectly. And the question becomes, why is this not prevalent? Why don't we have 5 million T&E procedures a year? And it's all intellectual dishonesty and a real conspiracy on the part of the manufacturers.
Absolutely. We got to fly. Dave Schwartz, thanks so much. Check it out.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Welcome to the show tonight, Nikki Nanos. She has such an interesting background, and she's got a book out that talks about public speaking, and it's called Act One. She's actually got three acts. What does it take to become a public speaker? And there's five key lessons that we're going to talk about. Nikki, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kate. I'm really excited. Excited to be with you.
Here's the first thing. A lot of people will say, oh, I don't want to be a public speaker. But the thing is, everybody at some point in their life has to give a speech, right?
That's true. I mean, we're in front of people all the time. It's constant communication. We're like doing mini speeches every single day of our lives.
So knowing that, what is one of the first things you tell somebody when they say, oh, my gosh, it's the PTA, it's the city council, it's my job, I have to do a report, it's this opportunity I have, it's even up to all the way up to TEDx talks because they're so popular right now for just right. Ordinary people that are doing extraordinary things. What's one of the first things that you tell them?
Well, the first things I tell them probably is the first thing that they say to me is they're all going like, oh, my God, I'm so freaked out. I'm scared. I don't know how to speak in front of people. And they get all nervous and the nerves kind of take over. So the first thing I talk to them about is really just being themselves and think of it as a conversation between you and a friend. And constantly just keep that in your mind. And even when you first get out in front of an audience, is find those friends in the audience and direct those first few lines to them because they'll have that smiling face and they'll be receptive to what you're going to say. But there's so much more to it, we all know. And when people talk about being afraid and how do I calm my nerves, one of the things I really say to them is learn how to breathe correctly and take those deep breaths in, not those breaths that go like that, because that constricts you and puts more pressure on your chest. Yeah. And a lot of people do that. And I've seen it even taught wrong on YouTube videos where they say, take in a deep breath. And I'm going, no, no, no. You know, you've got to learn to let your lungs expand out this way and your diaphragm fills up from the air from the bottom of your lungs. And it's that diaphragmatic muscle that helps you control things. And when you can take in a deep breath and get it down to that diaphragm, just take it in through your nose, let it go down your esophagus, and fill in that, you know, get that little belly that comes out. You see babies breathe like this all the time. We somehow get out of the habit of breathing correctly. And you take it in through your nose and then let it slowly blow out through your mouth. And that really can help people start to calm down before they speak.
Nikki, that's all great advice. What about when you get on a stage and being aware of your body and where you're moving? I've seen people kind of pace like alley cats up and down the stage and get some dizzy, frankly, and I'm an easy audience member. And I think that also goes to nerves, too. What do you tell people about planting? Do they plant or do they move a little to the right and the left? Does it depend?
Well, I think the movement should come from you naturally. And one of the first things I tell people is stay still on your points. When you're making a point, that's where you really got to plant yourself solid. You can move on transitions. You can move when you're transitioning to a whole new thought and you don't even have to say anything. You can use a few words that are transitional words before you get to the next point and then plant yourself again. So that's what I try to make everybody feel that natural movement because it really is natural in us. It's just that people start concentrating so much on the speaking part and the fear part that they just start wandering back and forth or they just stand totally still and don't even move. They're like stiff, you know, nothing's moving. They're just, you know, they're like deer in the headlights, you know, kind of thing.
What happens if you get there? And I love that idea of plant when you're saying the point so people can really focus on that and pay attention to that. It goes back to the whole nerves thing again, and you just start to think about other things that you have going on. What happens to people who lose their place? And I've seen some people, sadly, really panic, and I want to just reach out and tell them, just keep going. What do you tell people that they should do if they kind of lose where they are?
If you lose where you're at, one of the things that you can do is you can direct it back to the audience and say, now, what was the last thing I said? And that really is giving them like kind of that little cue that will say like, oh, she just wants to see if we were listening. And they'll tell you, and that gives you sometimes a little time to get back on track. And that can, you know, clue you back in. Or you can kind of have fun with it and say, well, I just lost my train of thought and I thought my 90-year-old mother was having problems, you know. So you can turn it around to the audience in some way, make them laugh with you at the fact. And you could say something, well, I'm going to get back to that, so no problem. You know, we'll get back to it. I know it's going to come back to me somehow. Make a joke of it.
Right, and that goes to authenticity. Keep hearing that. People want people to be authentic. So it's okay to say what you just said, right? To say, whoops, you know how that is, a short-term memory loss for me, or I'm thinking, you know, my kids today, I had to drop them off and the dog ran wild and went through a mud puddle or whatever you say. But just being yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Being yourself. And don't apologize, though, because that's what really, when you start apologizing to an audience going, oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot where I'm at. I don't know what's next. And I'm so sorry. People keep repeating that. And what happens, it draws more attention to the negative. And it's harder to get out of a negative spot than it is making light of it or asking the audience, now, where was I? Or what did I just say? And bringing it back to you. It gives you a moment to, you know, recollect your thoughts. Sometimes even, which we use as actors, because, you know, I have an acting background. And one of the things we used as actors was the fact that we would repeat the last line we said. And that would help us click right back on track again.
There you go. That's a great hint right there.
Yeah.
And we're speaking with Nikki Nana. She's the author of the book Act One, Five Lessons from the Stage for Public Speakers. And you mentioned that you have an acting background. Tell us a little bit about that. And I think you worked on a pretty popular show.
Yeah, my acting background, really, I've got a Master of Fine Arts in Acting from California Institute of the Arts. Today, California Institute of the Arts is one of the top schools in theater across the country. And that was California. I'm from Michigan originally, did my undergraduate in Michigan. And what now, see, talking about forgetting, what was that last question you asked me?
your acting background, because you worked on a big television show, too.
Yeah, I did work on Walker, Texas Ranger, and I did locations. I wasn't in front of the camera. I was behind the scenes. But I worked in locations, and the last year and a half that I worked in locations was absolutely fantastic because I worked specifically with the stunt unit. And talk about when you have to work with people, man, that was an incredible experience.
So you saw what it was like. Obviously, actors have to memorize lines. What happens when, and you must have worked with Chuck Norris, and I heard he's a master at memorization. Is that true?
Well, actually, he had a coach. And he had a coach working with him every single morning, going over lines with him. So that helps you because every day you've got new lines, a different scene. Everything's out of context. So, you know, you're filming the end of the series first, and then all of a sudden you're going back to the beginning of the series 3 days later. It, you know, just depends on the locations to make it easier for the crew. And so, yeah, so he had a coach that worked with him every day.
So I mentioned that we go back to your book, Act One, and then you've got two other books that are coming out, Act Two and Act Three. And what will they dive into?
Well, Act Two is basically I'm going to focus more on your body, your voice, and your mind and the things and how you can use your voice to help you express things. So, you know, it's like, how are you saying it? And having more expression in your voice, because you don't want to be sitting there listening to someone like this who talks like, because we all know that, you know, that's been used 100 times, but it still always brings us a little laugh to people's face because we've all had professors like that. So learning to just use that flexibility in your voice when you have to speak soft, to, you know, bring it down to that whisper, and that kind of grabs people's attention too. Or when you have to be really big, you know, and get excited about something. So that's what I want to focus on, that because a lot of people don't understand about using your voice and your body. Oh my gosh, gesturing. Gesturing is not just your hands. It's your face. It's your whole body. And I'm one of those people that tells everybody, you got to feel what you're speaking about from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes to the ends of your fingertips. Because if you're not feeling it, you're just like this puppet that's moving. I've seen people speak like this, and I've seen actors do this. All the movement is from the waist up, and the bottom part is totally still. It's like you've got this disconnected body. And so, you know, those are things that I really want people to concentrate on. And then the other thing that I really want to focus on is actually starting to write your speech.
Ah. Yeah. Boy, and we'll have to have you back on to talk about that. Nikki, if people want to find your book, where can they find it? And tell us your website.
Well, the book is on Amazon. It's a Kindle now, so you can download it from Amazon, or you can get it through my website, which is www.nikkinanos.com.
Nikki, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Kate. It's been great.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222. Or buy online at drinksupertea.com.